50, and will join us and we'll talk about the upcoming Stanley Cup play-in and playoff games that will start on Saturday. We've got the last of the exhibition games today. We had six games yesterday, including Winnipeg beating Vancouver in the late game. Three more games today, and then it all starts for real on Saturday. And how many people, Simmer, are going, yeah, plans for the long weekend? Actually, I'm staying indoors watching hockey all weekend.
Yeah, I mean, for the game at noon on Saturday, if it's a nice day, can't imagine doing that. But no, I get to the evenings. Part of the thought, unfortunate here in Canada, we'll start off with Montreal-Pittsburgh at 8 o'clock on Saturday. Sunday, you'll have Toronto versus Columbus, and I don't have any problem with that. Like I said, at the end of the day, hunker down and watch a little play-in hockey.
A little primetime hockey, yeah. Well, everything is, we've gone from no sports to a smorgasbord of sports. Sports is certainly back now. Will it all be able to? Will it be able to finish what they started? That remains to be seen. The latest thing we can add to the list is Canadian Premier League soccer. As the league announced yesterday, it is going to have a, we'll call it a summer tournament. They're calling it the Island Games, coming up starting in the month of August through to mid September. They'll have all eight teams, including expansion Atletico Ottawa, out there. And, of course, important to keep your league going in the middle of a pandemic. Not an easy thing to do. League Commissioner David Klanikin joins us now on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Good morning, David. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you coming on. So why was it important that your league play games this year somehow, some way?
Well, the two biggest reasons that come to my mind right off the bat is obviously the momentum we created last year and the good marks we got from the fans and supporters. It was important to keep that moving forward, right, and not go dark in their eyes. The second was obviously we had a expansion team from Ottawa, Atletico Ottawa. We want to get their team out and showcase them a little bit. Now it's not exactly the way we wanted to do it, but it's certainly going to be good for the fans and supporters in Ottawa, which are they're very hungry for soccer. So I think it's going to be very good for the league and for Ottawa as well.
Was it also important, David, to end up having something for the players, where a lot of them had to be looking around saying, "Hey, if we're not going to play this year, I might end up going to another league."
100%. I mean, honestly, that was one of the biggest things is what do we do with the players, right? They want to play. Athletes, that's what they want to do, right? They just want to compete. And our players have been fantastic. They've been true, true professionals through this whole thing. They've conducted themselves exemplary is the way I would phrase it. So they getting them out there, and some of them have moved teams as new players come in. It's going to be a lot of fun to see them play, and going to be very competitive out in PEI for sure.
You're moving eight teams, and I think a traveling parties. I think I've seen of what, around 25 or so players, staff, etc. So you're looking at, you know, anywhere from what, 200 to 250 people. It ain't cheap. How are you paying for it?
Well, what's happened is we've worked because we have the broadcast and we're going to be streaming, and we're working with a couple of the linear broasts. Or as some of us old guys call it, the regular TV. We're working on that, and we obviously have broadcast rights on those things, and so we're trading off and we're bartering advertising for funding, and that's a big part of it. So not a handout, more of a hand up, so to speak, and so we've worked that out. And Prince Edward Island's been great about it, and they of course want to showcase their province. And so that's how we've worked it through.
Right.
And the fact that it's not a long-term affair, I think the competition gets heightened because you got to leave it all out on the field. You can't, there's no tomorrows when you're playing in a tournament like that, or, to really define our season.
David Klanikin is the commissioner of the CPL. They've announced the Island Games, a summer tournament to start next month in Prince Edward Island. Have you gone to the Canadian Football League has certainly been very upfront that they have asked the federal government for government support to get their season going. Has the CPL done the same thing? And if so, what has been the response so far?
So yes, the answer is yes. We had talks with different ministries in the federal government. They don't necessarily fund the way they put it was professional sports. I was looking to trade more than anything else. It's not in the cards for them. So that's the way it is. But we're working on other things as well. It's more of a longer term approach. You need a relationship with the federal government. The federal government's been supportive of us, but not from a financial perspective. And that's really it in a nutshell.
Especially here in Ottawa, the new team wanting to see the new look. What media platforms will be available on?
So it's going to be through our broadcast partner. One Soccer is going to be streaming every single game, and that's that for now. And they'll be producing all the games through Media Pro, so that Media Pro Canada. But we are very close, and I don't want to get too far because I promised I wouldn't put undue pressure on anybody. But there's two of the linear broadcast groups in Canada are very interested in doing a number of the games. So, and potentially even both will carry different games. So there should be lots for everyone's appetite. Let's call it that way.
How did the whole thing come together? Because I'm sure at some point when we were in the height of the pandemic and it looked like there was going to be no sports anywhere, you had to be thinking, well, we for sure aren't going to play. Take us through kind of the process of coming up with this plan to have a summer tournament, you know, why you decided on Prince Edward Island. I know that you had interest, I think, from Moncton and Langley, BC. Take us through that entire process of coming up with this island game tournament concept.
Sure. I mean, it started off, and I've said this to a number of people that have asked me, because the reality is, because we hadn't started a season, we weren't in a rush to have to finish a season. So we didn't have to get back to finish something. A lot of the other leagues out there, that's what they're dealing with because of obviously commitments they've made and sponsorships and that type of thing. So we weren't there. And so when we postponed our training camps and then we postponed the start of the season, we were taking a wait and see approach. And then as we got into later May, we said, you know, this could go on a lot. We started to hear the federal government talking about don't even think about live sports and people in the stands. You know, the earliest late fall, probably not till next year, you know. So we started looking at, okay, others are starting around the world are starting to think about sports coming back because the pandemic maybe had kind of peaked and was coming down a little bit in some countries. So we were watching what they were doing. Said, you know what, we can do this. We're a small league, relatively, you know, we're pretty flexible, pretty nimble. We don't have a lot of teams. You know, we're in the right space here. How would we do it? So we started to look at how we would do it. And one of the things we realized right away, kind of reading the tea leaves, but more importantly, watching what Canadians were saying and some of the polls that are out there, we realized that it had to be very safe. Health and safety was everything. And so as we went through it, we very, very much focused on that. And then a couple of different provinces. It started with BC, actually, in Vancouver Island. Stu Young, who's the mayor out in Langford, there, where Pacific SC plays, he said we could do this out here, and that was one of the things that we talked about. And then we had PEI and Moncton throw their hats in as well. And it just became about a focus of our protocols. What can we do? We need to make sure, because Canadians, right now, Canadians are very in tune to whether or not people are respecting the protocols that are out there, because it's this idea of not worrying about, don't just worry about yourself, worry about your neighbor, worry about everybody else, right? So we've got to take care of each other. So that became a big part of it. And we did our own protocols. We were very strict protocols. The provinces liked what we were doing. We had them in with their people. And they came back and said, okay, we're working through it. And it's a long process. It seems like it's a long process. I mean, it was really about 2 months doing that. And once we got to there, then it started to move a little bit quicker, right? So eventually, all three of the cities had put together some really good plans. It just, PEI just seemed to all gel. The puzzle pieces all fit together all at the same time. And then it was a matter of, we got to go. Because if you don't go now, because of our weather up in this hemisphere we live in, you know, there is a go-no-go point at one point, right? So we were at that point. So that's how we ended up there. And I think, you know, it's going to be very interesting. I mean, yes, we don't have a team there, but it's a beautiful place in Canada. They want to showcase their province. And the reality is we're going to be able to do it in an area that, you know, I consider the country probably one of the safest in the world, for all kinds of reasons, and not just COVID, but certainly during COVID. And then PEI, you know, if not the safest, one of the safest places in Canada right now. So we're very comfortable, but on guard, right? You got to be diligent about this whole thing.
Once player and staff arrive into Prince Edward Island, what kind of protocol are they going to be under?
So we will move everyone into a bubble within the Maritimes bubble. So that's what we've agreed to, is we'll keep all of our people sequestered, everyone. So there's just under 300 people that are going, between coaches and players, between you know, some team officials, all of our referees and officials there from Canada Soccer, obviously all our broadcast people, and any of the league office people that are going to be there. Although a lot of it can be done remotely, anyways. But so that they're all going to be housed in one property. It's at Delta Marriott downtown in Charlottetown there, and it's connected to the convention center. So we have the entire facilities, all of their grounds, everything is basically sequestered just for the Canadian Premier League. So very good. It's a great property. It's very close to where the alumni field is at University of PEI, where we'll be playing games, and then the other two training pitches. So we're in a good place, and the province has been very good, and as well as the people. I mean, there's a lot of warmth and hospitality from the Islanders. They're known for that, and so we're looking forward to it.
Will everybody be essentially locked down to the hotel, or is there some semblance of freedom, guys being able to kind of at least go around and walk around, if not go to a restaurant or whatever?
No. That's the big part, is we have to stay to ourselves, because it eliminates the possibility of I'll call it cross contamination, if you want to call it right. So that it gets transferred. So we have to. The protocols are there, and our guys will follow them. No issue whatsoever. But there's, you know, we'll engage. We'll make sure the players are engaged, and they have a good experience out of the whole thing. That's part of the reason for doing it as well, right?
As long as you bring the FIFA World Cup game, right? You're all set there. That'll keep them busy the entire time, right?
There's a part of that for sure. That and TikTok, I guess. Eh?
Yes, exactly. What about just in terms of testing of players and staff before you leave? Once you get there, and once you're on the ground there, how often will everybody be tested?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're actually testing twice before we leave. So we've already done one full set of tests. And all of our players and coaches came back with negative tests on our first test. And that was as of Monday, the report that I had Monday. We will test again prior to getting on charters. And it'll be charters that are taking us out there, just with only people involved in the CPL Island games that are on those charters. Once we arrive in PEI, so in other words, you have to have two negatives to get on that plane, right? And then, or those planes. And then once we're there, the province and our own health people will be testing everyone that came off those planes twice more in the next 5 days after that. And then going forward, what will happen is there'll be daily checks on everybody, and then we will be testing throughout the period that we're there. And so we'll continue the testing, but also we'll be creating this database on, you know, this monitoring symptoms and everything else, right? Temperature, all of that. And that'll happen every single day for every player. And the interesting thing is, when we said that we were going to do that, one of the things that we said we would share that with the province, so that they have a database to work from. So they have access to that. So they were pretty pleased that we would do that. And I think it just makes sense. It's the right thing to do.
Have you put any thought into what 2021 is going to look like yet?
Right now, right, you know, believe it or not, we're still having talks with teams about expansion. I don't know that 2021, there's anybody out there that's looking to start in 2021, but that's one thing. Right now, people are asking us, and I'm adamant that we'll start in April. We'll begin our season in 2021 in April, and that's the goalpost that I'm looking at. And it'll be with eight teams, obviously, but it'll be more of the same, and hopefully we'll get a full season in, and like to think that we're going to have fans and supporters back in the stands, right? I think everybody's looking forward to 2021 to eventually get back to that. But again, it's somewhat out of our control. Everyone in sports control, really. So
the virus rules the day.
Yeah, that's right.
David Klanikin is the commissioner of the Canadian Premier League. They're going to have a summer tournament called the Island Games out in Prince Edward Island. So how will the tournament itself work? You've got eight teams now, including expansion Ottawa. Will they play a round robin, and then what, top four make a playoff? How will it work?
Yeah, you're spot on. So here's what I love about it is it's long enough to be very entertaining and good game, good competition in it, but it's not long enough that you can take a day off, so to speak, right? So the first round is a round robin. There's 28 games, all teams play each other. And then at the end of that round robin, four teams go home. So right away, four are sent off the island, so to speak. And bring us your torch. You're going home, right? And so then from the first stage, it goes into group stage, and then the group stage is the four best teams out of the round robin, and then they go into a round robin, and then from there, the top two teams play in the championship, and it's a one game championship because no home and they're all home. Right, there's no home and away here on this thing, so they're either all from away or they're all at home, depending on how you look at it. So that to me is there's some real interesting dynamics in that. The fact that we've changed some rules. One of the rules we put in was the 5 substitution rule, which changes, and they've been experimenting with that in Europe a little bit, and that is interesting to me because now all of a sudden, if you think about the influence of a coach, the coach has an even greater influence on the game tactically because he's got more to work with, right, on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be very interesting, too, because a lot of times the coach gets 3 subs. He's got to think about, well, if my goalkeeper gets hurt, so I got to have a goalie on the bench. So I've got 2 to work with. It's not 2 out of 11. It's not a lot. Now you're talking about you've got, even if you keep 1 for the goalie, you've still got 4 players. You've got almost 40% of the squad that you can move around, right? So now tactics becomes a big part of it.
Yeah,
this is me trying to put pressure on the coaches, right?
There you go. Last question for you. Of course, as you mentioned, we've got a team here in Ottawa that was scheduled to start. I know from what I understand, a couple of the international players they had hoped to bring won't be able to come because of some of the rules that are in place. What are your expectations for the Ottawa team in this upcoming tournament?
You know what? I think they are the dark horse. I think they're going to do really. I think they're going to do really well. I mean, you know, Atletico. They've got the DNA, and that organization. You know, their parent organization has been around for 117 years. These guys know football; they really do. And so it'll be interesting to see how well they do. And they've got some interesting Canadian talent that's on the team, and some of the internationals they brought in are fantastic too. So I'm really looking forward to see how they play. There's no doubt in my mind they should do well.
All right, and will teams play? I know you're gonna put out the schedule here fairly soon, but will all teams play like every 3 or 4 days? That kind of be the way it lays itself out?
Yeah, that's the way it's gonna work out. We're gonna run some double headers and things like that on some Saturdays, we pretty well try to get games on most days.
All right,
all
starts August the 13th, the Island Games in Charlottetown. Should ask you one other question because I got a text while you've been on, David, from a guy who owns a cottage in Prince Edward Island, wondering how somehow, some way, if you can sneak him on the charter so he can get out to his cottage. He can't get there now because of the quarantine rules.
Tell Jeff Hunt he's not coming.
Good point by you. All right. Thanks a lot, David. Really appreciate it. Best of luck. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There's David Klanikin. He is the commissioner of the Canadian Premier League. They announced yesterday the Island Games tournament will start in mid-August, run for a month. And, of course, this will be the debut of Atletico Ottawa. David on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, brought to you by Pizza Perks at Gabriel Pizza. Download the Gabriel Pizza Perks app and sign up today.
Yeah, and a lot of credit to the league, JR. When I look at this financially, to get everybody out there, whatever the deal was with the hotel, but to put this on, going to have to pay staff and players. That's a big picture view for a league that's just getting going. And also, you kind of, the dark horse part, I like when you throw that in the 7-team league. That really doesn't tell me anything other than you don't really know, but you just want to be complimentary to Jeff Hunt and his new group, right? They're the dark horse of a 7-team league.
That leaves you an out either way.
Exactly.
Well, I told you they might be really good. Yeah. The dark was darker than we thought. Yeah. So, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know what? And I know Jeff and everybody with Atletico put a lot of work into trying, and they kind of were a little bit late getting started in terms of being able to sign players. I mean, realistically, it didn't start till this calendar year. So important, I think, that they got on everybody's radar screen to be able to play some games this year. Even if we're only going to be able to, watch them on television or listen to them on the radio or whatever, important you've established your footprint now. And then if and when we get, regular things back next year and fans at games, you've at least established yourself a little bit.
And hey, any of these leagues that start up, you need people that have a vision at times that want to spend some money. We've never had a player like Alphonso Davies come through Canada where you're inspiring both to the domestic league, more importantly, big picture, just getting more and more kids to play soccer and play at a higher level.
All right, good stuff. Thoughts on what David had to say. Looking forward to the new CPL tournament. Let us know. Text us at 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN 1200 as we continue along here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Listen, it's sacrilege to say it as a good Canadian guy, And Jeff Healey was a remarkable story.
Yeah.
Never liked that tune. Got to be honest with you.
What it was...
Am I allowed to say that?
Is this the same fellow that was in Roadhouse?
No. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Roadhouse.
Yeah, the movie.
Patrick Swayze Roadhouse?
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, don't like the tune? But an early Bunda, there was a theme of kind of 70s rock. Is that kind of what you were heading with for the first couple hours?
I just play some rock.
Okay.
You know?
No, it had a nice vibe. No, you got to early Eagles.
Yeah.
That was a different feel to the
played
Eagles.
Some Floyd.
And then they tried to turn into a little more of a hard rock band. That was more of a country rock that you were playing the first couple hours.
Yeah,
and
take it easy.
Some classic tunes right there, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I apologize to all the Jeff Healey fans out there. That's good Canadian and everything. But I just...
good riff. I like it.
Do you? Okay. Listen, you're the man spinning the tunes, and Josh is on board. And for the most part, I'll agree with Josh. Your tunage selection this week has been exemplary.
Except for when I played Hall & Oates.
Except Kiss on My List yesterday with Hall & Oates, which I insist probably. And you're not saying it publicly, but I'm guessing Simmer requested
that. No, I haven't requested anything. At least that's a pick-me-up tune. As we get to the 8 o'clock hour on a night where I didn't sleep very well, slow dance songs, please no more of them for the next hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, there we go. By the way, yes, Roadhouse. I got about 17 texts on that. So.
Of course. He's the whole, and again, they played the guitar basically sitting down on his lap. He's blind.
Yep.
Has the one tune, and he knows Dalton. Like, come on, man. Like they had a whole backstory of working different places together.
Okay. Never saw the movie. So all I know is Patrick Swayze. Yeah. So I'm going to go. I went Patrick Swayze, Canadian rocker. What are the chances? So I ultimately said no. But it was a pure guess.
No, and then that's why it was a little surprising, JR, is that I don't think even at that point, we're talking a mid-80s movie, how he kind of parlayed a one-hit wonder into what ended up turning out to be a pretty good movie.
Several texts have come in this morning asking about the return of Pierre Maguire. When's it happening? Monday, our Holiday Monday show, which, by the way, AJ and Simmer will host 7 to 11 on Monday, but Pierre will be back from his bubble out in Edmonton. Pierre is doing the Western Canadian bubble games, and he will join us daily, so it'll be 6 a.m. his time, but Pierre is always great for that, and no matter where he is, never misses a day, so look forward to his commentary beginning this coming Monday.
Well, and texted with me yesterday. He is still, as he got into Edmonton on Monday, would have been two more days, which I think is probably through to tomorrow. He has had to stay in his hotel room
locked
the whole time.
Down.
It really is. And a lot of the, no, not a lot, some is responsibility of the person. But what the NHL has done and how they plan this, JR, I know there's some templates, I guess, in trying to organize things and how you control a crowd. But full marks to everybody going through this. I saw where Gord Miller had just kind of passed through into it. And I also think for Pierre, and I know it's going to be early mornings, and that sequence that we had from last year where he had to go between Dallas, Minnesota, San Jose.
Every day he was doing a game.
I'd be a bit moody too. Even if I'm on the radio talking sports, he'll be locked down. And for guys that have been to World Juniors or been to the draft, you're locked down. Well, if there's one place on the planet you want to be locked down is with 12 other hockey teams, general managers, players, where, man, this is like being in probably the Olympic Village.
For sure. And just as far as, the NHL, and so far, got to give kudos to the NBA as well. So far, other than Lou Williams, they've been able to pull it off. They had the latest result, zero tests again yesterday, the result released yesterday, but over the past week, I was skeptical about whether this was gonna work from the NBA's point of view out there in the wide world of sports in Orlando, and it's a hot spot and everything. Less skeptical about hockey, and again, we still have a few more days to get through to see that the bubble is going to hold for sure in Toronto and Edmonton. Certainly feel like it has the feel that it's going to. I got to give full marks. I'm very critical about Gary Bettman in the NHL for lots of things, but I think them waiting for as long as they did to ultimately make the decision to go to Toronto and Edmonton, because Vegas was what everybody was talking about for the longest time.
Yeah.
And can you imagine right now if we were talking about Toronto and Vegas, how much more concern there would be about a potential virus outbreak at the Western Conference hub in Vegas, and much lesser and a worry, I think, right now in Edmonton. So I have to give them full marks for waiting and being patient and putting together what looks to be a real good plan from how the presentation looks on the ice and covering up the stands and to the presentation on my television so far, to actually how the players and coaches and everybody are reacting. So far, so good.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I just think to have a play-in round, short and sweet, 8 or 9 days, we're good to go, I think sets the table to get into the first round. Now, we'll see on the ice. We'll see what else ends up happening. And also, when I also say to the NBA, because that is a hot spot, you're in South Florida, right now, everything's okay, but that would be my curiosity, would be more the workers. And I've joked about people trying to visit, but if there is going to be people going in and out of the bubble that are in Orlando, I feel much better about Toronto and Edmonton. And I never understood this fascination with needing to be in this major U.S. market. You're in Canada. You're in a great spot. Toronto and Edmonton, it's the middle of summertime. Everybody knows you, the interest level. Now, I know you're in a bubble, but I just think on a zillion different levels. And like I said, the presentation in comparison to baseball, turning back and forth last night, is night and day.
Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question, which ran through the day yesterday, we asked you, how did you find the play of, and we said last night would now be Tuesday nights, but opening exhibition hockey games, better than expected, as expected, worse than expected, or didn't watch? And when it was all said and done, 46% of you said I didn't watch.
Yeah.
23% said better than expected, 23% said as expected, and just 8% of you said, it was actually worse than I thought it would be. So between didn't watch and at least up to expectations, that ruled the day.
Yeah, well, I also saw where the Rivals had some pretty good numbers. Highest rated exhibition games ever. I don't know if they have ratings for them in the past, but hey, and this is also the Ottawa market. We should trade Ottawa out for Buffalo because I know they're not in the playoffs, but they tend to watch more ice hockey than anybody else. Yeah. So that's our new, now that the Jays are there, we'll actually put that as a Canadian market. For everything else, say going forward, JR, it is going to be, as we move along, how many Canadian teams are involved? How many of the big brand teams are involved? What's the quality and feel around it? And hey, check in, I guess, mid-October. Mm-hmm. How many people have really dialed in? We're like, oh man, this is must see. Just the whole process for NBA, for all the leagues to see how this plays out.
Yeah. Six Canadian teams will all be playing in the play-in series. So by the official first round of the playoffs, what we think now is kind of is round two, there could be no Canadian teams left. Could be as many as six.
Well, we know one's going home, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Winnipeg's playing Calgary, so one is going home. But could be as many as five then.
Yeah.
Could be as few as a zero. Just a thought on, just a guess, how many think you survive into the actual playoffs?
How many do I think are going to survive?
Of the six Canadian teams.
The automatic is going to be one of Winnipeg and Calgary, which I'll take Winnipeg. I do think at the end of the day, Vancouver is going to upset Minnesota, so I'm to two. I'm not going to bother with the Edmonton-Chicago to think it's too close. Toronto's going to win. I'm going to go three out of the group will end up making it. What about you?
You know what? I'm going to go two.
Okay.
I think Minnesota's got a chance to beat Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
I think Chicago has a chance to beat Edmonton, although after watching Edmonton play the other night, if McDavid's on top of his game, he's unstoppable. And Patrick Kane is a fantastic player.
Yeah.
And he's almost to the level of Connor McDavid,
but
not quite there. So I'm going to give Edmonton the edge there. So I'll go two, verging on three. How about two and a half?
No, you go. You weren't on last week. We ended up having a caller called in, wanted bets from me on automatic lock'em of the eight series. And he said you can pass on them. I passed on seven of the eight because I don't look at any of them outside of Pittsburgh and Montreal. I don't look at any of these series. And you could honestly say as a hockey person, this is an automatic lock it down. Can you?
Well, based on what we saw yesterday, Islanders versus Florida.
Well, yeah, I guess.
It's not a lock it down.
No. And I guess that's even. But I'm just saying, is it the biggest one? And it should be. The Pittsburgh Penguins had 86 points. Montreal had 71. They traded players at the trade deadline. Their goalie doesn't want to be there. They're not really, to me, that's the only one I'd look at and say that would be a major upset. There wouldn't be a major upset in any of the ones.
How much do you think, and again, they're not in Montreal. The Montreal Canadiens players aren't. But before they left for the bubble, how much does that bleed into team psyche, this whole thing? And Tony Marinaro, TSN 690, took us through it yesterday. that apparently no one or a vast majority of their fan base doesn't want them to win.
Yeah.
Like, how much does that bleed into your psyche as a player?
Well, if I'm the Gallaghers of the world and a Domi and a self-starter, not that I want to shove it to my fans, but that would actually fire me up a little bit more, to be quite honest with you. I don't think the psyche would be. And again, I know Carey Price, this is old school, where if a goaltender's cool and calm and he's playing well, you're like, oh, he's like ice. And then when he doesn't play well, you're like, the guy doesn't care. When I see Carey Price's quotes and I see his lack of energy and enthusiasm, and I know that's his personality, but if that's my highest paid player who made $15 million this year, I'm a lot more worried about that tone than anything else. And then kind of going through the rest of your leadership group as to just what, you know, because the whispers and the jokes and having fun. But I didn't think that, just from an outside, I'd be way more worried about that tone than anything to do with the draft lottery.
Prediction, if Edmonton goaltending is poopy pants, then they'll sign the Lehner. That comes from Unsigned.
You know what? Unsigned, Koskinen got, what, another year on the deal? Old Smitty.
He's got two, doesn't he?
Smitty, full marks to Mike Smith. And there is a spot where if you had a young goaltender, still love some of the things he brings. But you have to look at this. And I guess I'm hoping for Robin Lehner's sake. On every level, I can't agree more. I mean, the Edmonton Oilers have not had solid goaltending since, God forbid, am I going to have to pull a Dwayne Roloson and a Cujo, and then back to, you know, Andy Moog to Bill Ranford. I mean, I just look at that and I would say absolutely. But I also wonder why the Islanders and now Chicago have now cut them loose. And I'll say this for Vegas. And there's an interesting story there. And Robin talked and Dave Pryor got fired before he got there, the goaltending coach. Mike Rosati's taken over the job. I do wonder if I'm Vegas, I'd be trying to sign Robin Lehner and get rid of Marc-Andre Fleury. And that, ooh, they operate very much in the Patriots mentality.
Yeah.
I don't think they care. So? Yeah, very much
so.
Man,
he was their first player. He is like, they sold him hard to the Vegas market.
Yeah.
And I agree with what you said. They're all in on winning for sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Man, that would be a hard trade to make just for the fan base to trade your marquee number one player that joined the organization.
Yeah, no.
And such a good guy,
no,
too.
No, you're right, but those are the hard decisions. I mean, God, it was hard for Pittsburgh to let him go, even after Murray had won a couple of Stanley Cups. But if you want to make the right decisions in a non-traditional market, I'll tell you what, you've sold so far. The only thing they'll continue to sell is winning. And they're also, JR, they're going to get into a transition pretty quickly. When you start to look at the Pacioretty's and the Stastny's and the Fleury's and start to look at some of the core of this team, it's like, how can you have expiring assets on an expansion team? Do you know what I mean? Like their window. And I just think for the long haul that Lehner might be. Now, if they get a little two-headed monster and afford it, but in a flat cap, I can't see that happening.
On text at 12-1200, can you ask the CPL commissioner how they managed to get PEI to host the tournament when citizens of Canada can't go on to their own cottages without self-isolating? That comes from Unsigned. Yeah, that's, we kind of alluded to that fact of, they have locked it down in Atlantic Canada, but the fact that they put the protocols in place, that PEI signed off on it, I guess the return is PEI feels like they're going to get, not initially, but down the road, a tourism bump out of all this, showcasing their beautiful area of Atlantic Canada. And I was, you know, I asked him, partly in jest, you know, are your guys going to be locked right down? He said, absolutely. They're in the hotel. That's it. You're going to the practice field. You're going to the stadium to play the games, and otherwise you're in the hotel. So you're not even out for a stroll in Charlottetown while you're there for a month. So
yeah.
They are not taking any chances whatsoever, the PEI government.
Yeah, and to the tourism board, or assuming it would go as high as the premier, I got to be honest with you, I'm a little surprised. And when, you know, they talked about Toronto and being important to be a hub city, financially, I think it's just okay. I don't think there's some major, you know, push in the economy and PEI and all the tourism dollars. Yeah, I find that a little bit hard to believe, to be honest with you. I guess any publicity, and if you feel like it's going to be on national TV, but within Canada, do people need to know how beautiful PEI is? So I would be asking that question for sure if I had a property there and couldn't get there, or even if I lived there.
The Bomber writes, when will the Vladdy at first base experiment, when will the Vladdy at first base so he can be a position player experiment end? With a true first baseman in all games, the Jays are perhaps 5-1. He should at least be replaced at first in the latter innings. Can't be giving away games in a 60-game season. In my opinion, his inability to play the position has cost Toronto two games. He hasn't been able to figure out the breaking ball so far, so he hasn't come through with the bat either. That comes from the Bomber. Some early criticism of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with the Blue Jays. I can't speak to the other game. I mean, last night, three-run double was that got through him at first base. I mean, I never really saw an angle off the television replays. It was a hot shot. It was a tough play. Now, if we're talking about a Gold Glove first baseman that's been doing it for 10 years, is he able to pick that? Maybe. Yeah. If we're talking about a guy who's played there for six games in his, in his first year playing the position, that's a big ask. I mean, he's not going to get any better unless you play the game, and you're going to have to deal with some of the mistakes of youth. And inexperience along the way. I wouldn't give up on him. The guy's a terrific athlete.
Oh, for sure.
Now, he needs
to
drop some weight. We've talked lots about that, but he's good. I would not want to make a 21-year-old a designated hitter for life.
No.
At this point.
No. You end up with being the younger Prince Fielder. You end up blowing your belt or you have some trouble like that. And what was, I guess, coming out of the Jays last week, JR, was the thought of, well, they were going to delay the inevitable by trying him at third base when all along everybody thought he was going to be a first baseman, right? It was more like, hey, here's a sign of this is what we're going to do. Why delay it? Why not get him over there? And there have to be. There's no doubt. I had not seen his body type until the other night in comparison to before and even before this all broke out where he was at. Would I be concerned about that body type getting injured at third base versus first base right now? Absolutely, I would.
Yeah, growing pains. I think if you're a Jays fan, you got to deal with the growing pains as far as the defensive side of things go. Listen, we're six games into the season. Has he been a little slow to start with the bat? Absolutely. But the guy's got way too much potential to be giving up on it now.
Oh, and they won't. But when you ask your own manager through the media where someone's conditioning that and they can't even lie to you,
No,
there's a concern. But like you say, this is all part of the process is to stay on it. You hope, and as I said, you just want to arrive, I'll say at least in the next 12 to 24 months, where you don't have to hold his hand, right? Where every time you give him a bit of rope, all of a sudden he comes back from Dominican and he's put on 15 or 20 pounds. You want him to change his mentality, but more importantly, change his lifestyle.
Yeah, and he played third base last year with the Jays, and I think he was graded one of the worst third baseman just defensively with the analytics. He was not good. So the whole idea was to move him to first, right? So give him more than six games to play a new position he's never tried before. Yeah. But this is just an experiment to get him to play defense. You don't want him to be a DH.
No. Otherwise, as Simmer said, instead of 250, he's at 350 in pretty quick order.
Oh, my God.
Grabbing nachos out of someone's...
I don't even know he'd go high towel. You'd have to get a bed sheet to hide that.
Toga. I'm going full toga.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, 8:54. We'll take a break. Don't forget, Jeff O'Neill, the O-Dog from TSN in Toronto, will join us. We'll talk some hockey with him in the next hour here on TSN 1200. Or so from now, I'm going to take you back to a little bit this day in sports history. 15 years ago today, right here in the city of Ottawa, Simmer, Weston Hotel.
Yeah.
You remember?
Oh, yeah.
Here is Pittsburgh Penguin general manager Craig Patrick.
It's a thrill for the Pittsburgh Penguins to be standing here in this position today. It's a very, very, very lucky day for our organization, our city, and our fans worldwide. On behalf of Mario Lemieux and the entire ownership group, Pittsburgh Penguins select from Rimouski in the Quebec Major Junior League, Sidney Crosby.
That, of course, was the NHL draft, which was held at the Westin. It was coming off of the full-year NHL lockout. They had just come to a deal earlier in July. That's the reason we had an NHL draft on July the 30th. But, to think about the fact that of all the pomp and circumstance that goes around the NHL draft, and of all the years in which you had one of the best players in the history of the game be picked, and he's picked in a hotel ballroom.
Yeah.
But such as it was, Sidney Crosby goes number one overall this day to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, and crazy. I guess next time we have the first pick overall from the Quebec League, he'll be picked on Zoom, right? So here we are 15 years later.
Great point, yeah.
And it was so funny. My buddy Greg Hammer and Rob Tate had come down. I was living in Rhode Island. I came up. We ended up going to Milestones right across the street. We were having a drink, and Craig Patrick was there with the entire group, and Craig had a couple of pops. One of the nicest men on the planet. And it was just so funny. He was so quick to come over and say hi and wanted to meet everybody and say hi to him. And if people also think about Craig Patrick and the Patrick family, if you remember the movie Miracle, he's kind of the sidekick or assistant coach to Herb Brooks. Like, what a great hockey story. And I guess we still live the conspiracy. But think of it. And I know Bobby Ryan had three.
No, no, it was lucky.
Well, yeah. Huh? I know Bobby Ryan had 340 goal seasons. But you just look at how close you get to the fortunes of a franchise changing, right? Where, hey, Bobby ended up being the second pick overall and a decent. We drafted Rask that year, ended up being actually a real nice draft.
What?
And for Ottawa fans, and I guess that was the whole Brian Lee, right, took on a life of its own.
Yeah. Well, you have said if Pittsburgh doesn't win that draft lottery and get Sidney Crosby, they're in Kansas City.
Yeah, or if they get there before Washington does. I mean, really, where you look at where the sport was at, quite simply, the Washington Capitals, the Alexander Ovechkin effect and what these players have meant to these two franchises, well, it's quite obvious. And even more in Washington, JR, I'll say that what that building has looked like for basically the last 15 years in Washington, where it is red. There are no Pittsburgh Penguins fans coming to the games. Like, you know, those are shifts. I mean, we won the lottery. Otherwise, we got Cam Barker.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a shift of fortune for two franchises. And now we're really facing that in 2020. There is probably going to be a major shift of one of these eight play-in teams that end up losing as to how they're going to go. Like, imagine your Calgary Flames. The direction they kind of think they might go, should they lose in a play-in where you want to make changes, all of a sudden you can present Lafreniere to your fan base. It's kind of a Sidney Crosby 2.0.
I'm just looking at that 2005 draft held here in Ottawa, the first round at least. Yeah, it was not necessarily a great draft. Like Bobby, just statistically, Bobby Ryan ends up being one of the best players. Now he was the second pick in the draft, just points-wise, at 555 career points. You got Anze Kopitar, of course, at 950. Has been outstanding for the Los Angeles Kings. He went 11th overall. Martin Hanzel. Let's see here, 338 points. He was drafted by Phoenix. We got TJ Oshie, went to St. Louis. Andrew Cogliano went to Edmonton. Yeah. And Matty Niskanen goes to Dallas. Those are all guys that are above 300 career points.
Yeah.
We got three guys that never played a game in the NHL that were drafted in the first round in 05. Marek Zagrapan went to Buffalo. Now, are you out of Washington by 05?
Yes. I was with the Leafs. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sasha Pokaluk was drafted by Washington. See, when you were gone, Simmer, they didn't know what the hell they were doing.
No, I delivered him Ovi, and then I said, listen, don't screw up the rest of the draft.
Sasha Pokaluk went to Washington 14th overall, and Alex Barrett went to the Atlanta Thrashers, number 16, never played an NHL game, which may explain, in part, why the Thrashers are now playing in Winnipeg.
Oh, the Thrashers drafting. You look at Edmonton, you really look at Columbus, you know, outside of a Kovalchuk and a couple of other picks. I mean, it was just god-awful. They never really had a chance, never developed any of their players in their system. And we had Tony on yesterday, and I tried to make the point of, back to when Denny Savard and Doug Wickenheiser, you know, and all the pressure Doug was under. I do think there's a little more to that layer, is that the fact it's Ottawa and Brady Tkachuk, like for the Montreal market, to this started kind of slowly this year about how good Brady Tkachuk is. To me, it has created some more pressure and negativity. And this isn't to say that Brian Lee would have turned out to be a player. A bad pick's a bad pick. But that stall dynamic started from draft day on, right?
Yeah.
And there, I just think there's times where, and in Montreal, I say this only because Kotkaniemi is going to be a real nice player. But if that pressure leads to him struggling and they flip him out, I think they'll be making a major mistake. But, hey, he's not going to be as good as Brady Tkachuk.
By the way, I should mention that your Toronto Maple Leafs drafted Tuukka Rask in that draft.
Now, unfortunately,
did not keep him, as
we've documented many times.
Some of the other good players out of that draft, just looking through it quickly. James Neal went early in the second round to Dallas. And let's see here. Paul Stastny went in the second round to Colorado. He's got over 700 career points. Chris Letang was the first pick of the third round to Pittsburgh.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
Crosby and Letang out of the same draft.
Not bad. And my favorite player, I guess that wouldn't have been the Kumalin year we drafted him, but my favorite player going into that draft year was Paul Stastny. I went to watch him a bunch of times, and he was so terrible the previous year. And the whole issue was skating. And he went to the University of Denver, JR, and he had improved so much that we liked Rask, but we were praying and hoping that we'd be able to grab him at some point in the draft. Because there was just, he was trending. I was even surprised at where he went, that he didn't go a little bit higher, because he was trending in the right direction.
Just looking to see who your Leafs drafted in the second round, and it would appear that you didn't have a pick in the second round.
Okay.
So hence the reason no Paul Stastny to Toronto.
For sure.
All right, a little past 9 o'clock. We'll get you the latest news from 580 CFRA.